You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the Chairshot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
All right, everybody. It is Friday night, July 4th. That's right, Independence Day here in the United States. You are listening to the podcast known as the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard, running a two-man show tonight. I'm going to introduce my co-host, the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how's your fourth?
Yeah, I've been very relaxing. I've been just playing some video games, watching some wrestling videos, and that's pretty much it, man.
Yeah, so nice and quiet. And because, like I said, it is 4th of July, Independence Day, we are recording at almost 9 o'clock at night. There's a story behind that, and I'll tell that in a minute. You're going to hear fireworks going off in the background. You're going to hear all kinds of noise. This neighborhood kind of blows things up. So why are we recording on a Friday? We are recording on a Friday because collectively, the last 24 hours between myself, between Jason, we just could not get our crap together. We usually record on Thursday night, peeling back the curtain here a little bit. Jason, he and his lovely wife had plans last night, kind of last minute. His wife wanted to spend some you're married. You know, couples want to spend time together, and that's what she wanted. And, you know, you're obligated to do that. And it's, you know, no harm, no foul there. I get it, man. So he was like, I can't record unless if you guys want to go Friday. And, of course, you know, everybody's off on Friday. So, like, you know what? Anytime during the day on Friday. So he comes back to us, so let me let you guys know, I and Rob, we are going to run out of time here because you and I, no, it's two-man team. Sorry, we can record, we can stay on teams all night because it's a two-person team. So when somebody says, okay, we're not recording Thursday night, we'll record on Friday, DJ's plans change on a dime. Like, I switch gears, and last night at about 7, I poured a drink, I plopped my butt down on the couch, and I started playing Mass Effect 2, and Jason messaged us, said, okay, I've had all the outside time with my wife I want, I'm ready to record. I'm like, too late, pal, I done made other plans. So, I was like, you know, Rob's like, I'm off tomorrow. I said, I'm off tomorrow, we can go anytime during the day. So, we left it up in the air. Friday comes around, Rob and I were talking in the pre-show. I do, as a hobby, I paint and build scale model cars. And I'm going to promote my own stuff here in a minute, just because I can. But, you know, that's my thing. But it's, I live in Florida. It's been very humid. It's been very hot. And it's done nothing but rain for over a week. So I don't get a whole, I haven't had a whole lot of time to paint. I've got this one model that's been sitting on my workbench now for over a week that I've been wanting to paint. So I was like, this morning before the rain starts, I'm going to get up and start painting, which I did. I had some breakfast. And then because my girlfriend and I are the sad king and queen of, we have a three-day weekend, we're not going anywhere. Oh, yeah, by the way, we need to run some errands. So at about 9 o'clock, she's like, we need to run here and here and here. So we ran out and ran errands. Jason, we start trying to set up a time for around 3:30 to record today. And Jason sent the most amazing text message ever. Actually, hang on, we're about to have a run-in. Everybody hold that thought. Because I want him to be there. I want him to be there for this one. We are, Jason is going to be on board with us. Hang on.
Hello, sir.
There he is, Jason, right, with the run-in.
Oh, my God.
Bucky's tag team partner.
I am. It's one of those days that, like, you think you have the whole day, like, on a syllabus or whatever those things are called, schedule, whatever. And then by 10 o'clock, the whole day gets away from you.
Jason sent me the most amazing text message. And here it is. I'm going to read this out loud because this is awesome. This is the most 4th of July, and I have a wife thing, like, ever. Okay? This is, and I quote, this is at about 3:30 this afternoon because we were going to start recording around 3:30 because I told the guys I was busy doing something. So Jason sends this message at 3:38. My wife gave me a list of chores and a cold beer at 11:30. I've been doing that since. LMAO. That is the best goddamn text message I've gotten forever.
DJ, you understand. You've been married.
Yes.
Rob, you've been married. I'm the only one who's still successfully married, but nonetheless. Because
he called us out, man.
I'm kidding. I'm busting your chops. Yeah. But I'm not, mostly, my point is that my father taught me the most valuable phrase, and he taught me this phrase at like 8 years old. Son, the biggest thing that you ever need to learn to say in your married life is, yes, dear. That's it, man. As long as you can just say, yes, dear, and make it happen, you will live so much happier. And that's how I choose to live, and so far it is working for me exquisitely because my wife is wonderful. So
let me give you the direct quote.
I'm sorry I abandoned you guys, but
the direct quote is
happy wife, happy life, my friends.
Happy wife, happy life. Not DJ's version, which is quiet wife, happy life. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Right. Exactly. Rob, and let's be serious, there are some problems that are just straight up unfixable. And I feel like you were in that category. So don't take that any which way, buddy.
I'm messing with you, man. Okay, but
I'm messing with you, too, so stop
okay,
it.
Okay, but see, my dad told me something once, but I can't say it on air here. It wouldn't be appropriate to say on air here.
We'll have to save that for one of our special shows.
Yeah. Mindless wrestling podcast after dark, so to speak.
It has to do with the subject of infidelity. But.
Oh boy.
Yeah, nope. We're going to leave that one alone, and we're going to move on.
And
DJ, why don't you welcome the people to the show? Or you probably already did that.
I got through Rob's intro, and I was going through...
I'm going to welcome everyone to the real Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Oh, I don't know if these guys reckon, the Sideshow Bob show with these two is great, but it's really the best when we have the three faces of the statue or whatever. I don't know. I'm just babbling at this point.
That's okay.
Guys, it's great to hear from you. It's great to talk to you. Like, I am having a phenomenal day. One of those great day offs that just worked exquisitely well. And, so how is your 4th of July going, gentlemen?
My 4th of July is going awesome. I have a red, white, and blue hat. I'm sporting some Cody Rhodes American Nightmare merch. I am just in full for. I got a drink. I need to pour another one. I am in full Independence Day mode. Had a great intro to the show, Jason. You're gonna love it. I fixed the sound bar. I fixed the sound bar, Woo! So we have noise now. That yes. It only took me a fucking hour to do it, but I figured
it
out.
Only took 3 years, but
yeah, it took 3 years. Yeah, 3 years into this podcast, we finally have a sound bar. So you know, we've got that going for us. Yeah, no, it's been a good 4th of July. We've had a good day here, and you know, it's like I told the listeners, and Jason, you may hear it. The neighborhood is trying to blow itself up with fireworks, so you'll hear that as a.
Do you hear the fireworks on my end? Because I just heard there was just a boom behind.
I can't tell the difference between yours and mine.
They're going up over here too.
All right, so it's,
well, yeah, you live in the DMV, dude. And please God, Rob, tell me you're doing something this weekend. Please God.
As a matter of fact, I am. Okay, I have.
Thank God.
I'm doing a weekend long triple movie feature.
At your house?
No.
No, Jesus Christ.
No, a day, man. Hey, I wouldn't be shocked, you know? All right, what movies is it? Where is it?
Okay, well, all right, so tomorrow I'm going to see Mission Impossible and Formula One, and then Sunday I'm going to see Jurassic Park.
That is like a triple feature of, like, dude, that rules. Mission Impossible followed by F1. Followed by Jurassic Park the next day.
That is
God
peak,
bless you.
That is peak Dudes Rock movie going right there, Rob.
Yep.
Yes.
And then but that's something you could bring the girl too. Yeah, you're going to have the most fun, but you can bring the girls, all three of those.
Yeah, so next weekend, both kids want, they'll be here next weekend. They want to see Superman. So we'll be going to see that too.
Oh Rob, I'm sure you didn't want to go see that, right?
Of course I did.
You guys enjoy that.
I told everybody, like, Emily's like, oh, should we try to get, like, you know, Rich friends and, you know, the family and this and that. Like, should we try to organize something to go see? I'm like, no, we're not organizing anything because I want to go see this movie real bad, real soon. So you and I are going to, like, the 10 a.m. show on Saturday morning. That's it. Like, and if anyone else wants to join us, but I'm not trying to organize shit. Nope, I'm going to this movie because this movie looks phenomenal, and we'll probably have a whole show about it after it happens.
No, you guys enjoy that.
You don't have anything to say about Superman?
Nothing good.
What?
The only positive thing that
really,
I can say about
no
it right now.
There's no from Chris Reeve, George Reeve, all the way down to Dean Cain. To comic books, to the Justice League animated series, to everything. There was no Superman that you were like, that's kind of cool.
No, this movie, dude, I've seen all the other stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. The only positive thing I can say about this is I'm positive I'm not going to see it in theaters.
Let's not go too far down here, but why?
It just...
Okay, just to give juxtaposition the audience and explain why. This is the most positive and the most golden and the most happy and the most good that Superman has ever looked in, like, 20 years. And I want the big blue Boy Scout. I want that so bad. And this guy looks like he's going to deliver it. So now, DJ, why? And I don't hate any of the darker whatever things. So anyway, DJ, why do you not like James Gunn's Superman?
For exactly all the reasons that you said. Opposite of that, I don't think he even looks the part. I look at this guy and I do not see Superman. I have seen nothing from the trailers that make me feel like this is going to be a good movie. I just, and even T and I were talking about it.
The trailer where he goes from Clark to Clark Kent to Superman,
the
right?
Clark Kent, let's start there, looks horrible. What is with that haircut?
No, hang on. Have you seen the trailer where he's talking to Lois,
he's leaving something out. He's leaving something out.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Look. Me and DJ, we both enjoyed the Zack Snyder movies, most of them. DJ is still, yep. DJ is like the guy, is like one of those guys who's still on the island after World War II. Waiting for the call, okay?
No, look here. Stop it. You stop it.
Are you a Snyderverse truther?
No.
Come on, DJ.
No,
you're better than that.
Let me tell you something.
We can get you to therapy. We can get you a psychologist. You're going to be okay, buddy. I love you.
Would you shut up for a minute? Because I am on in a live microphone on the Bandwagon Nerds, which you can hear every Sunday or Monday on the Chairshot Radio Network. Mm-hmm. I was on about a week ago, and we talked about the Snyderverse and all the people from the Snyderverse review bombing the new Superman, and I specifically said they do not represent me. I have moved on I've moved on from the Snyderverse.
I'm joking.
Yeah, no, I've moved on. Like, I've accepted its fate. I thought it was great for what it was. It exists in a bubble, and it exists as an Elseworlds timeline movie for me. I was okay with them moving forward at this point. I just don't... There is nothing about this movie that screams Superman to me. This guy doesn't look the part. The Clark looks horrible. And goddamn, why is there a dog? Like, I get that Crypto was in the comics.
No,
and he was in the
Why is there what?
Why is there a dog?
Shut the fuck up! We might not even be friends after this podcast. Why is Crypto in the movie? Because Crypto's one of the best characters ever, and there's been 70 Superman movies, and he's never been in goddamn one.
Why is that, Jason?
It's a dog! It's hard to fucking animate!
Because
making a man fly is...
He is the scrappy dude...
Try to make a dog fly and make it look believable.
He is the scrappy dude of the Superman universe for me.
No, I got...
Oh my god! I can't.
Get him, Rob! Get him, Rob!
I can't go there with you.
No, Streaky is the... of the Superman universe. Supergirl's cat. Does exist. Kryptonian cat.
I plan on seeing the movie. Okay, let me be very clear here. I plan on seeing the movie. I am not seeing it in the theater. It just has not sold me.
That's unfortunate. That's weird. I'm saying this like completely objectively, like from 10,000 feet. Like, just knowing you as I know a person and like what you like about movies and whatnot. Would I think that you'd be like running into this movie like, oh my god, I can't wait for James Gunn's Superman? Probably not, but I'm still surprised at this point that you're so like, he's not Superman, he's not whatever. Because like, dude, understand that I've loved Chris Reeve, I've loved Dean Cain, like I've been a Superman honk since I was 5 years old. I bought Superman 500 from the grocery store. And I wish my house didn't burn down in 10th grade or 5th grade because I'd still have it. Like, dude, the fact that you can look at this actor and say, nope, don't get it at all, is straight up flummoxing me. Now, if you said he's Clark isn't great or based on these trailers, or his Superman isn't great, or he's too snarky or whatever, all of that is fine. But just straight up you can't see him as Clark, Kal-El, or Superman?
Okay,
I'm flummoxed.
So, Jason, rewind to what you just said. If you want to say he's not great as Clark, he's not great as Superman, but he's not great. That's exactly what I'm saying. He's not a great Superman. He's not a great Clark Kent. Neither one of those identities is bringing me to the theater. That's perfectly reasonable own admission.
But no, I think that like we're getting caught in nuance here, where I'm just like. I believe his Clark. I believe his Superman. And you're saying that basically you don't.
Correct. I believe I'm not seeing this in the theater.
See, and so, like, we're just... That's going to be a matter of opinion. We can never get past it because, I mean, I have that... Again, I'm a giant Superman fan. I don't know where you are on Superman, but I know you're a giant DC fan. So, like, I know we're all steeped in this knowledge, and... all the experience of all the actors who have come before. So if you're just going, I don't believe him, that is straight up a difference of opinion. That is straight up like Roman Reigns in 800 days and just like, yeah, I don't see it. Well, I don't get it, man. But
I'll tell you what.
I'm not saying that you're weird or anything like that. It's just not, as we say about wrestlers all the time, it's just not clicking with you.
It's not clicking with me, and I'll tell you what. To be fair, when it comes out on HBO Max or Max or HBO or whatever the hell they're calling that app these days, I'll watch it. I'll probably watch it the night it drops. If I enjoyed it...
And then you'll regret not going to see it in theaters.
If I enjoyed it, and if it's something that I think I should have seen in theaters, on this show, into a live mic, cool. I will apologize to you and I will admit that.
No, and you will apologize... to Crypto specifically.
Negative.
Understand?
Negative. I will not.
And actually, just because, like, you've insulted my guy, you've insulted Bucky's guy, like, you gotta apologize to me, Superman, Bucky, and Crypto. There you go.
No. That's a bridge too far, Jason. If I enjoyed the movie, tell you I enjoyed the movie.
Okay, you don't have to apologize to me. Just apologize to my dog and Crypto. How about that?
Bucky, I'll apologize to you now. If I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. But the last thing I ever wanted in a Superman movie was Crypto the Superdog. Sorry.
That's the first thing I wanted. So, wow, we consume
Superman differently. It's just... Yep. Yeah, we just do, and that's I have probably alienated three quarters of our I know there's at least four people that are probably yelling at me into their speakers on their phones or something right now.
But also, Superman, to your point, Superman is great in that, like Batman, like not every superhero has this because not every superhero has been popular for all 100 years of their career or whatever. Like, Flash ebbs and flows. The X-Men ebb and flow. Like, all these people. Superman and Batman have basically been running shit since they got here. And that means that they've been written by a shit ton of other people, and there's a whole bunch of different characters that they've kind of been while remaining true to their roots. By the way, is this fireworks getting too bad for anybody? I can go
inside. No, because, like you said, I can't tell mine from yours from Rob's.
Okay, good. Awesome. Because I can hear it great, but...
Yeah,
anyway,
I can hear you guys.
But there's so many different versions of Superman. There's Cavill was darker. He wasn't like dark broody bullshit. Like, I hate people that characterize him as that. But it was certainly of the Superman we've seen in film or even on TV, he was the darkest. And that's okay because we also in the comics we have Kingdom Come Superman, and we have like Elseworld Superman. So. Okay. I just think that this Superman is a cool for the media and like visual, like cartoons, TV,
it's,
movies.
Okay, let me explain.
It is a good return to the all-star Superman, the Boy Scout, that Superman has not been on television or on screen for a long, long time.
And see, I disagree, because part of the reason we got a darker Superman in the Zack Snyder version was because Bryan Singer gave everybody the Superman that they said they wanted. They wanted the big blue Boy Scout. They wanted the hopeful hero.
They didn't.
And are you telling me that Superman Returns was not that?
Sorry, go ahead.
Are you telling me that Superman Returns was not as close to that as we could have gotten? And everybody fucking hated it because nobody wanted the big blue Boy Scout. You read on, dude, I spent months in online forums after that movie came out.
That's what that era was about. Like, because that was when The Dark Knight was coming out, man.
Right.
Like, that was when, you know.
But do you have.
Like, media and everything was shifting. And also, hang on, he did not just do the big blue Boy Scout and put his own spin on it. It was a sequel to the Reeves movies.
I understand that. That's my point.
I think he did a great job, but he was hamstrung by the fact that he had to, not he did it because he wanted to. He had to, as this movie was a sequel to those movies, he had to do a Chris Reeve impression. And that wasn't fair to him. He didn't get to do his own Superman. Now, you see his own parts of his own Superman. If you ever see him in the Arrowverse and him playing future Superman and all, and my God, I would like to see a movie with that Superman. That was amazing.
Right. No, I enjoyed that, and I did see that. But my point is, the media fallout from that movie was literally people saying that Superman, we're tired. The words were, we're tired of the big blue Boy Scout.
Yeah.
So WB pivoted when they went into the Snyderverse and tried to give everybody the Superman that they said they wanted in those reviews. They wanted a darker take. They wanted a Superman that was a bit more morally gray. You know, this is what everybody said they wanted, and Zach gave them that, and they bitched about that, too.
He wasn't morally gray. Like, he wasn't even morally gray. It was just the movie was darker, and he dealt with difficult decisions. Like, even if you go back to, like, the climax of him killing Zod, that's not new at all. That's been a thing since the 80s of, like, he takes responsibility and kills Zod, and he feels horrible guilt about it.
I could go on an hour long defense of the Man of Steel. I'm not going to do that. Like I said,
I could defend that. I could defend Man of Steel and Justice League until the cows come home.
Same here, because it irked me. Like, people wrote reviews of that movie and just they lied.
No, they weren't great. Don't get me wrong. Like, there are flaws to those movies. Like, no argument.
Dude,
those movies were not the, like, I'm sorry they weren't, I'm sorry they weren't exactly what you were picturing, but.
Nah.
I don't know.
At any rate, I didn't intend for this to turn into
what are we even talking about?
We went on a rant there, man.
Look, we try to not make this show like every other wrestling podcast where we talk about the same five things as everybody
else. I run in and we just start talking Superman.
You know what?
Fine. That's the whole point. That's what we try to do here, man.
This detour. We took a detour last week and got on a really good discussion about our coffee habits. Jason and I, big coffee nerds. Rob, not so much, and unfortunately, none of it went to print because my dumbass didn't hit record. But
Bob, did you hit record?
We've been recording. We're 30 minutes in. I hit record as soon as I started doing the intros.
Okay.
Actually, I hit record when you and I were doing the pre-show.
Okay.
Good. So yeah, dude, we've been recording for like 40 minutes. We're good today. But I like taking these detours.
Because we were recording for about like an hour last week, and we had a good show.
We had a great show, and nobody ever heard it. Unfortunately, like I said, we had a great discussion about coffee. But yeah, no, it's a 4th of July. We just had an argument about the Superman movie. I'm all patriotic and stuff, and I don't know about Jason, but I've been drinking, so it's going to be a good show tonight.
I've been drinking, and I'm also wearing a Cody Rhodes American Nightmare shirt because that's how I feel about the 4th of July.
American Nightmare, there we are. Jason and I are twinsies tonight. Can't believe I just said that on live air. That's disgusting.
Shit happens, man.
It's out there, man. So since this is a wrestling podcast, why don't we... Jason wanted to talk a little bit of Americana. And for me, let's talk about that because it is Independence Day. And, you know, there are certain things that make you feel good. And you may have heard at the intro to this show, Jason, you missed it. For me, one of the best pieces of Americana for me was when seeing the original Independence Day movie in the theaters. It was a great movie going experience. Like, that movie represented every reason why I go to the theaters. It's big, it's loud, it's explosive, there's aliens, and, you know, Will Smith became a star that day.
Dude, the promotion.
Oh,
that
was
an event.
That was a had to be there.
Like, people do not, kids these days, DJ, as we like to say, do not understand what a blockbuster promotion was like in the summer in the 90s. They do not.
Yeah.
Like, this movie was everywhere.
You know what this reminded me of?
Like, McDonald's cups, like, McDonald's toys and like Walmart t-shirts and like every single posters at like every stadium and just like, and obviously it came out on July 4th. Like, it was an event.
You know what it reminded me of, Ren? Rob, Jason, you were probably a little too young. Rob will know what I'm talking about. Remember when Tim Burton's Batman came out? The promotion behind that. It was the same type of thing. Like, this was like you had to be there event type of thing.
I can tell you that, I know it because although that movie came out in 1989, my brother is older than me, and he's 9 years older than me, and I inherited so much Batman 1989 bullshit from the movie scrapbook to action figures to the Batmobile to a Batcave to, like, more picture books and coloring books. Like, I'm telling you. I inherited a family's worth of, you know, Batman stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, dude, that stuff was everywhere. Blockbusters, they were the best.
And that movie, man, the speech at the end with President Whitmore, he had me ready to join Bill Pullman's Air Force, jump in an F-16 with Will Smith, and go shoot down interstellar aliens, man. Like, it was so first of
all,
good.
First of all, they were F-18s.
Whatever.
Yeah, but, yeah, that movie was outstanding. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, all the, like, you know, the scary alien stuff, all, and it was, you know, it was as much America, fuck yeah, as you could possibly be.
Absolutely.
But it was also, like, fantasy of, like, you know, hey, this is where we could get, you know, world peace and stuff, because the world unites, and they, like, share secrets and whatnot of how to defeat the aliens. And then, you know, they have a movie 20 years later, and we all still hate each other, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, anyway, sorry, shouldn't get into that. Did anybody see that, by the way? The ID4 or whatever that was?
I saw it. It's not horrible.
That reeked of... Well, because everyone but Will came back. That reeked of... Yes, I'd like a paycheck, please. Yes,
yeah, it was a money grab.
And also, that movie definitely set up a sequel that is definitely not happening. Definitely, like, they set up a series, it seems.
Yeah.
Because they're going to... by the end, they're going to go back to the aliens' home planet and kick their ass. And so,
such a shame.
Anyway, that movie came out like 6 years ago and I haven't heard shit.
Yeah, no, there's not going to be another one. It's done. No. It'll be ID 20 more years done. And, you know, what's his name who played Dr. Oaken? He'll be passed on. Brent Spiner will be passed on, so he'll be, you know, he won't be in it. It's, at this point, it's like, why even bother?
It's fine. We already had a Pullman have the movie of the summer in Thunderbolts. So, you know what? We're covered. We're all good. Because his son played Sentry in the Thunderbolts movie. Lewis Pullman.
Another piece of Americana that you had to be there for, probably not remembered as fondly, but Lex Luger body slamming Yokozuna through the deck of the Intrepid. Wrestling related, guys.
It's true.
You know
it's
what?
It's true, man. When that American man takes that Japanese Samoa.
That guy.
No, but seriously. That's
look,
crazy.
And also, the
slam itself still, like the Andre slam, it still looks like holy shit. Like, even 40 years later, or however old we are, like, dude, it still looks like a titanic feat of strength. Whereas, like, you know, some of the Goldberg jackhammers and shit. It's like, okay, well, we see you guys moving fast and doing that stuff all the time. Like, dude, that still holds up.
You know, it's a moment in time that I'll defend. Because at the time, like, when you watch the behind the scenes, you realize how much of a clusterfuck it was. And it ended up just ruining Lex Luger in the WWE. And it really just was, in hindsight, not a great idea. But as a capsuled moment in time, I'll defend it to a line. I thought it was cool. I watched it as it happened. And, you know, Lex Luger body slamming Hulk, or body slamming Yokozuna. Yokozuna was just shy of 914 pounds at that point, and, you know, put him all the way through the bottom of the Intrepid. Hulk Hogan himself told me this. Yokozuna was 912.4 pounds. And that's truth. That's fact. I know this to be true.
That's factual.
It's factual. It's actually factual. You know what?
Yes, sir.
I like you said, I know history. History remembers it differently. But in the moment, watching it live at, what's that, 92, Rob? 93?
It was 93.
93. In 93, I was 20 years old. And I was just at the almost too cool for school for this shit. But I still watched it. I was still kind of loosely paying attention. And I was like, you know what? For that little 1 hour period of time to the build up and the hype, it was fun. You know, like I said, history looks at it much differently. And even now, I'll look at it and say, okay, yeah, that definitely screwed Lex Luger in the WWE. Oh, and it wasn't a good idea in hindsight.
How old were you that when that happened, DJ? Were you like 29?
I was 19 going on 20.
Okay.
Because it was, I
was just wondering, like, what is your, like, I believe factor? So, obviously, you were way out of that.
Oh, yeah, no, I was way past the I believe, you know, point in my fandom. Right. I'm going to be, okay, I kind of know what this is now, and I don't care, so I'm just watching it to be entertained. And
I know they're actors, and that's okay.
on July 4th of 1993, I was sports entertained. And I'm okay with that.
Yep. I mean, just like every week, we do it now. We're all in our 40s and 50s, and we say, hey, guess what, guys? They made me believe for 20 seconds, and I have a mortgage. So there you go.
Now let me just say, to me, it was a bad idea for Lex Luger. Because
why?
Lex Luger was not Captain America. That was never his persona or whatever. No. He was never, that just wasn't the right role for him.
So, you mean, I thought you meant the match. Like, not,
no,
you
no,
mean
no,
the whole
the
character, the whole thing.
Express. It was just, he was the wrong person to do that with.
I understand exactly why Vince said, I want to do this with you. And I understand exactly why they shouldn't have.
Well, because the thing is, but this is where Vince, this is one of Vince's blind spots where he didn't watch anything out. He didn't watch anything outside of his own company. If you would watch Lex Luger in the NWA, WCW, you would have known that he was not Captain America.
He was a killer.
Like, Sting would have been perfect for that.
Yeah.
You should have flipped him. Sting became the Crow and, like, the ass kicker and the whatever. Like, if anything, I mean, like, I know, but you should have flipped them. Like, it's just like, Luger was, yes, looking at Lex Luger, just looking at a picture of him, yes, I'm booking him as Captain America. Watching what he has done previously before this, I'd be like, no, he's an ass kicker, and I'm going to book him as a perpetual ass kicker.
Well, part of the problem was...
And so he was the wrong guy for that role. If they had signed Sting instead of him, Sting would have been, especially early 90s Sting where he was wearing red, white, and blue, would have been perfect for that. But they signed Luger instead, and he shouldn't have been, no, he was the wrong guy. But the idea was fine.
Yeah.
Right.
As a bit of foreshadowing, in the second half of this show, we're going to do a little bit of a watch-along that includes that red, white, and blue Sting from 1992. You guys look forward to that one at the end of this one. Basically, the biggest thing was Vince was too busy looking for the next Hulk Hogan, and Lex Luger was never going to be the next Hulk Hogan. And like our friend Dave the Lawyer says on the Big Five Project, he should have let Lex be the first Lex Luger and not the next Hulk Hogan. Because that role was never built for Lex. Or Lex was never built for that role. And I think, if you didn't like the narcissist, you should have done something else with him. But the slam itself, the event is in and of itself in a capsule. I was sports entertained in the moment.
Yep.
So, any other little Americana things that we want to...
It's okay. You can just enjoy the sports entertainment and then go smooch your wife or something.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to hold on to this as this big thing that you're going to carry for the rest of your life.
It was 30...
Like, it was a fun moment in time. I had a blast, and that was the end.
It was 32 years ago. We can let it go now. It's okay to let it go. It's done and over with, and we've moved on. Anybody got any other Americana they want to bring up before we go to commercial break and come back and do our watch-along?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we waxed poetic about Lex Luger for a while, not that we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Americana, like, obviously, Rob and I, Rob, I'll just say it for us, Top Gun is one of the greatest pieces of Americana of all time.
Yes, 100%. Both Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick were the most America fuck yeah of America fuck yeah kind of movies.
Like, literally, guys, Maverick, Top Gun Maverick was guess what we did in Top Gun Maverick? We took some fighter jets. We rode through a canyon, and we blew up a rogue nation. I'm using very, very, very large finger quotes. Rogue nation's nuclear program by hitting the vent and then hitting... Literally, and then we saw in real life just a few weeks ago, or a few days ago, what happens in Top Gun Maverick if they don't hit the vent.
Yeah.
Great. We did it, guys. So, yeah, that's the most Americana thing you could ever get. And honestly, like, they just as an aside, Rob and I are both pretty well-versed in the, military bullshit because, my dad was in the Army, Rob's dad was in the Navy, the Coast Guard, and all that good stuff. And, we're and Rob still works for the federal government. So in any case, we all love that kind of stuff. And yes. They both movies did the perfect blend of making it understandable for people who have never seen a fighter jet, but also the language they use and the words they use and the way they do things it satisfies me and Rob, who are like, yes, that's exactly what they would do. Tally two and turn over here and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that movie is Americana. Like
I do have one to add.
Yeah, please, go.
Rocky IV.
Oh, my God. The biggest.
Rocky won the Cold War.
Rocky IV in particular, because the steroid-taking Russian kills his best friend. He goes and he says, okay, well, I'm going to fight you in Russia, bitch. Okay, and he goes over there. He trains in Russia, runs up mountains and shit, and then he fights in Moscow in front of, like, this, like, fake Gorbachev-looking dude and the whole Politburo. Bureau. They're like, they're in attendance.
Huge.
Fight in Moscow.
By round nine, they're cheering for Rocky.
For round nine, they're cheering for the American because he's shown so.
Like, guys, this is literally like, I can't even draw up an analogy of just like,
if I can change and you can change,
everybody can change.
I mean, it was.
Oh my God.
That's a great call, Rob.
But it was so, and then, I mean, and then during.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
And the whole fight, and then he's like, you know, I see 3 of them. And then Pauly says, hit the one in the middle.
Hit the one in the middle.
And then, you know, and then when he finally draws blood, and then, you know, Duke gives him that speech in the corner. He's like, you heard him. He's not a machine. He's a man.
Be more man than him.
And I will say, of all the Rocky movies, have incredible fight cinematography, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. That one might have the best. It's either that or the street fight in Rocky V.
Yeah, yes.
The fight between him and both big fights in that movie, because the fight with him and Apollo is also awesome, despite it ending horribly. It's an awesomely, like, cinematographically made fight. Like, you're in it, you feel it, you feel every punch. And I'm telling you, kids,
it's visceral.
You can even still watch it now. They've ramped it up and they've got it in Dolby 5.1 and all that stuff. But, like, it still holds the fuck up.
Speaking of that movie, would we be remiss if we did not talk about that incredible musical montage with James Brown?
Oh, it's on fire!
No, I live in America, you
idiot! Oh, God. It's all on my playlist, brother. Rocky, the entire Rocky IV soundtrack is on
my
playlist.
That was not the James Brown song.
Yes.
Huh?
That was not the James Brown song, Hearts on Fire. I'm talking about I Live in America.
What was the one that he did? No, was Hearts on Fire when he's training with Apollo?
That's when he was running up the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So when he gets up to the top of the mountain, he's like, Drago!
Yes.
And then, yes. Okay, so I was right, DJ.
I was talking about James Brown.
When he's driving in the car and he's...
When Apollo's coming out.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean... I'm sorry.
You're right. That was James Brown. I apologize. Yeah, that was also amazing. And that's fucking Americano like you read about. A black former champion boxer walking out in the 80s being serenaded to the ring by James Brown dressed as fucking Uncle Sam to fight the Russian. That's America, baby. That's the America I want to live in right now.
Hang on, yeah, Jason. Hold the phone, Jason. Hang on here.
Sorry, I got excited. Rob just activated me like the Winter Soldier.
I'm going to activate everything here.
The sweatiest performer ever to live.
We're so gonna get copyrighted here.
The best.
Easy to get anywhere.
And this dude's coming out as Apollo Crews. Not Apollo Crews. Apollo dressed as fucking Uncle Sam walking out all day. That's America, baby. That's my America. I don't care what you ever y'all say. That's my America. That's my president right there.
All right. This has been the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, racking up just all kinds of copyright strikes here tonight. I'm sure I'm okay with it. Why don't we go to commercial break?
If it's between the ropes, we'll talk about it.
Absolutely.
Whether it be a movie, a wrestling match, or whatever.
We are going to talk about that. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have chosen a match because it is the 4th of July, Independence Day, WCW, the Great American Bash from 1992. Sting versus, which one was this? We were doing 92, right, Rob?
Yeah, 92, Sting versus Vader.
Sting versus Vader for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. When we come back from commercial, we are going to do a watch-along for that. Before we do, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can pick up, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, look at the t-shirts, pick one up. The starting artist on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Also, go check out thechairshot.com. We've got podcasts covering everything from sports entertainment to sports entertainment, but we're not just podcasts. We've got articles galore. Go check it out. That is thechairshot.com. Go on to commercial, and when we come back, we're going to do a quick watch-along.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back. You are listening to the July 4th Independence Day episode number 251 of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Welcome back. We are about to do another watch-along, and being that it's Independence Day, we wanted to keep with the Americana theme. And we are going to be watching something from the WCW era of the Great American Bash. I'm going to kick this over to the Deacon of Data, Rob, for a little historical background information on the Great American Bash. Rob, the show is yours.
All right. So the Great American Bash was originally, it was a thing they came up with for the summer. You know, Dusty and Jim Crockett. It was their idea for a thing to do during the summer. And it started out in 1985. It was just one show. It was Ric Flair defending against Nikita Koloff. That was where he did the famous helicopter entry into the stadium. And then in 1986, they expanded it and they made it like a whole tour. And it was like 15 shows in 1 month. And the kind of the hook to that was Rick was defending the world title in every city. So. And they even kind of made that a story unto itself, like, can he make it through the whole month? And, of course, he didn't make it through the whole month. He, on, like, the next-to-last defense, he lost to the Booker. How convenient, right?
You know what, though? We ate that shit up back in the day, man.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We ate it up.
That was Phantom Day. If you were a Dusty Rhodes fan, that was like the greatest day ever.
And Dusty was our baby face. In my house, before Hulk Hogan, it was Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, and so in like, and then in future years, they kind of de-emphasized the tour part of it, and then they took one night out of the tour and made it a pay-per-view out of it. And that started like in 1988. And so, and most years it was in Baltimore, and actually I went to a few of them. And in 1990, I was very fortunate to be in Baltimore, to go to Baltimore that year. And that is when Sting won the world title from Ric Flair.
I want to do a little side road there, because this, and I think we've talked about this on this show. This is wild to me. This is how weird the universe is. Rob was at that show in 1990 in Baltimore. Also at that show was our co-host on the Big Five Project, the lawyer Dave Ungar. And, you know, obviously we're talking, what, 35 years ago. Rob and Dave obviously didn't know each other. I find it wild that 35 years later, I'm podcasting with two guys who were at a historic event. Remember, this is Sting's first world championship win, if I'm not mistaken. This was a big one. This was a big moment in not just WCW history, but wrestling history. Both Rob the Genius and the lawyer Dave Ungar were both at that years before they would ever meet. And now I have the privilege and the pleasure of podcasting with you guys. I think that's just wild to me. That just blows my mind.
It is. And actually, what's funny...
My thing is also the list of, like, if you include that, and then obviously some of the things I've been to with Rob, and then some of the things Rob's been to on his own. Like, Rob, you have been there for a lot of really cool fucking wrestling moments. Like, obviously, I'm immediately thinking of, you know, you were there, we were there for WrestleMania 40 when Roman ended the 13-16 run. So, like, you've been there for some really cool moments. Good for you, buddy.
And that 1990 show, that was probably number two for me on, like, historic wrestling moments that I went to. And,
what's 40 number one?
You say it again? WrestleMania
40 number one?
Yeah. Just because of the magnitude of everything. I mean,
yeah. Despite the fact that it sucked. Well, like, I'll say that until the day is long, dude. Despite the fact that it sucked to be there for my guy to lose, it sucked to be there. Like, you know, I was like, maybe one more little magic and then he loses it tomorrow, Monday. Like, whatever. But, like, it sucked in the moment, but also, even at the same time, it was cool. It's like, holy shit, man. 1,316 fucking days.
Yeah.
We were there for the end. That's cool.
Yeah. And now, this, in 1992 was, like, the one year they did not go to Baltimore.
Right.
This was in, somewhere in Georgia, I think. And so now the setup here was that Sting had won the WCW world title in February because he won from Lex Luger. Lex Luger was leaving. You know, he dropped the title on the way out. And so that was Sting's, like, second title reign. And it was going along pretty well. And so Vader was kind of looming as, like, the next challenger. And Vader had kind of been in and out of WCW because he would show up for a little while and then go back to Japan. Because Japan is where he became really a big thing for, like, All Japan Wrestling. That's where he became Vader, right? And I guess they probably just couldn't get him to commit to stay in the U.S. for an extended period of time, you know, because back then, I mean, like, guys like him and Stan Hansen and Road Warriors, like, they would go back and forth because you could go to Japan for 2 weeks and make a shit ton of money, or you could stay there for a few months.
Just go wherever the check thumps the hardest, you know?
Yeah, and
like,
so
they were mercenaries back in that day.
Yeah,
like,
and so
really,
like,
bad.
Yeah, if you know, so guys went there. There were a bunch of guys who went back and forth, and Vader was one of those guys. And so it was just, you know, you couldn't. It was hard to get him to commit, right? To stay in the U.S. for some extended period of time.
But also not only that, that's peak attraction.
And if you wanted to keep him, it would have costed you a ton of money because you'd be like, well, I can give up these dates or I can hang around with you. But and that, these dates are paying me this. But so also, you want to match that?
Seriously, the idea of wrestlers being an attraction, this spotlights that. Because Vader coming in and out every now and then is special. Vader being there every week, every day is not as special as Vader once every few months. Same thing with the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors. Same thing with Stan Hansen. If you're only getting Stan Hansen once every quarter, that's a big fucking deal. It's also a big fucking payday. So, yeah, it's the same thing with Vader until he commits to full-time in the U.S. You know, he's collecting the Japanese money, and he's also coming over and getting a huge payday for the attraction dates that he comes in here. Well, go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
I mean, guys, you both lived through it. So would you say that Vader, when he did sign that big contract and he stayed, did he lose any of the mystique? Any?
No.
Are you sure? None?
No, because they had built it at that point.
I mean, is this guy who just comes out of the clear blue yonder and as a ball of fire, you know? And he's here for a couple of weeks and then he's gone or whatever.
Because they booked him the right way.
Yes.
Right? Because somebody like him, because he was this big imposing figure, if he shows up, he's got to kill everybody, right?
And he did.
And they let him do that.
Yes. So, and he did.
Okay.
Yeah. Which all right, so well, get into 92 here.
Demolishing people.
We're burning time, so get into 92 here.
Yeah. All right. So 92, so Sting is the world champion. Vader commits to a more full-time-ish kind of schedule in the U.S. So he is... you know, basically positioned as, you know, bad guy number one, and they run a collision course, and it happened here at the Great American Bash, and so Sting defended the WCW World Title against Vader, and this is one of those matches where you didn't know what they were going to do because, well, even if you were a little smart to things, because you knew Vader was coming and going. So you kind of thought, okay, well, he probably may not win because he doesn't really stick around. But it was hard to imagine Sting beating him, right? So, you know, it was kind of smart versus, you know, person who just watches the show, kind of conflicting viewpoints here because this really was, you know, not sure, you know.
Yeah, this could have gone either way.
What did you guys think going into this? Because this was before me, obviously.
Honestly, I wasn't sure. I was not, for those very reasons, I was not sure. Because, again, it's hard to picture Sting beating Vader, but Vader was not a full-time guy, you know, as far as we knew. So it was, I mean, having him come win your world title seemed a little dicey.
It also seems like a good attraction to getting him to sign a full-time contract.
Yes.
So... before we get into this, this is WCW Great American Bash from 1992. Now, there's some debate between Rob and myself as to whether if you pull up the Peacock app, if you want to watch along with us, it's obviously under the WWE tab, under the WCW tab, the Great American Bash. You'll have to look at it. It's from 1992. It's either Season 6, Episode 1, or Season 5. Rob and I are conflicting here. But it is Sting versus Vader. The timestamp on this is 1 hour and 54 minutes. And one thing I want to spotlight here, there's a bit of foreshadowing right before this match. There's a brief interview with Ron Simmons. And this is when Ron Simmons is on his ascent. He's, I think, split off from Doom at this point. And he is going on a big solo run. So there's a bit of foreshadowing here as to what's going to come for Ron Simmons in the very near future. And that all kind of ties into this match that we're getting ready to watch. WCW World Heavyweight Champion Sting versus Big Van Vader or Vader or whatever they wanted to call him at that point. Again, if you want to pause the podcast, it is WCW Great American Bash from 1992. The timestamp is 1 hour 54 minutes exactly. Gentlemen, are we ready to start this?
We are.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to give you the countdown in 3, 2, 1, go. And here's Harley Race. I love the Vader mask.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that thing. That thing is incredible.
Where is that thing now?
I hope WWE has it in their possession. Or his kid has it.
They bet. like one of them.
Yeah,
those are the only correct answers, honestly.
I don't think he wore it in WWE, so I think his family probably has it.
I hope so.
I hope his kids have it.
If they do, they need to I don't know, give it to somebody. Don't just keep it in storage.
Does it do the smoke?
WWE does with all their shit anyway until they finally build a Hall of Fame. So, but Jesus, dude, this guy, I wish he's one of those guys that, knowing what I know about the people that I've seen on television and then subsequently seen in real life, I would love to have seen Vader in real life. That dude was probably a meteor of a person.
There it is. There's the smoke out of the... I love that. I popped for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Vader was an experience.
Remote shit back in like 80-whatever? Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Living through this guy's ascent.
And the LED lights in the eye holes? Man.
Yeah, this was an experience living through Vader in real time. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And this is
why I love wrestling. I want sports entertainment. Like, yes, I like Adam Cole, whose gimmick is professional wrestler, but give me the larger than life guys. Give me the cartoon characters. Give me the Mortal Kombat characters. And that's exactly who's coming out right now, Mr. Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, Sting was the biggest cartoon character that has ever, done it.
Yeah, so, and that's another one, man. To be there for the beginning of the Stinger's career and see where he went was another moment in time that you had to be there for to understand it. It's like, kids today, they're like, okay, yeah, Sting. I'm like, no, you don't understand, man. Like, WWE was still top of the wrestling food chain at this point, but they didn't have Sting. Being on TV if WCW and WWF at the time were on TV at the same time, Sting would have largely pulled me away from WWF television at this point in time.
Yeah.
And you're talking about this Sting, Surfer Sting, who was an incredible character and an incredible wrestler. But then this guy turns the page and does a whole new thing when he does The Crow. And that also is one of the most... That is... Listen, guys, gun to my head, ask me who my favorite character is. It's either the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns or the Crow Sting.
Yeah.
That is it.
That's
number one and number two, depending on the day.
I was ambivalent to the Crow Sting. I understood it. Jason, you were the right demographic for the Crow Sting, being a few years younger.
Dude.
But this era of Sting was peak for me.
But also, he, in a more subtle way, and especially that after that first year when he was just hanging around in the rafters, in a more subtle way, he brought that same, like, pop and character and just, like, Steve Borden is his shoot name?
Yes.
Like, he has... charisma, as I talk about on the show all the time, charisma in my definition is force of personality. When someone walks into a room, everyone turns their head, no matter what they look like, no matter what they're wearing, no matter what they're doing. And Sting did that with this guy, which is a ball of lightning surfer man, and he did it with the next guy, which is a depressed, spirit of vengeance.
Yeah.
So this guy is head and shoulders, one of the greatest of all time.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Man, Vader is working Sting over here.
He is
wearing Sting out. Sting, he no-sells the clothesline. Sting going back for another one. High cross body. Vader catches him, tosses him aside. This is incredible. Dude, this is good stuff.
He doesn't even toss him aside. He stopped him in midair and just pushed him out of the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look.
That again, comic book shit, dude.
And look, I'm on team big dudes no sell shit.
Yes. Me too.
I know no selling is frowned upon in this day and age, but I'm all for it.
I'm sorry, no, you're 400 pounds like
sometimes
Vader.
You gotta chop down the redwood.
Jeez.
And that's favorite. And that's also where we go backwards. And I, as I say, like, I love Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter and this, like, that's what I want my wrestling to look like, comic books. But also, it is supposed to be combat sports entertainment. So, yeah when a guy outweighs you by 100 pounds, it's going to take more of you to get him down than it is going to take him to get you down.
Picking apart the psychology of this match, Sting just took over, and it was really well done the way they did that. Because Vader whipped Sting into the corner, and then Vader went in for a big avalanche. Sting barely got out of the way. Vader, you know, hits himself in the corner, knocks himself a little loopy, and Sting immediately goes for the belly-to-back suplex and then hits a couple of clotheslines. And that's such good psychology because that's what it takes to get this guy Vader off his game if you think about this in terms of a real sports combat type of thing. This guy's twice my size. I need to outthink him. And that's what Sting did. He outthought him, got him to make a mistake, and then hit him really quick with a couple of big moves. And now Vader, while he's obviously not hurt, he's shooken up. And now Vader's game plan, he's got to regroup. And this is what he and Harley Race are doing here. They're regrouping, rethinking things like, okay, this guy's not a dummy. Let's go back in here and regroup. And it's such good storytelling.
Well, it's what I just talked about. It's Sting is literally chopping the redwood down. He's like, I don't have to get you in one big thing, but as long as I just keep getting you,
a bunch of little things will do it.
And look, we need to bring back the test of strength.
Yes.
That's what they're going for here.
Test of strength and work the crowd, because they're teasing the test of strength, and then Vader backs off, works the crowd a little bit. Sting's like, come on, if you want to do this, we'll do
honestly,
it.
Hey, credit to the two guys that I do love. I remember one of their matches, Cody and Roman did a test of strength that I was just like, yes, buddy. I don't even remember how it ended, honestly, but I just remember, like, one of them put up the fingers and was just like, yep, we're doing this.
There's zero, in real life, there's no...
That's the only one that I remember, Rob. So, like, you're right, like, it should be more of a thing.
Like, when Hogan and Warrior did it, that was like, you know...
Incredible.
That was like, yeah, that was...
Oh, God.
That was like an all-time, you know, wrestling moment, you know...
Yeah,
and
Sting with the thumb to the eye.
And that's they sold it like they were Dragon Ball Z characters. So, you know, and they should have because they were, you know, they were.
And now Sting is cooking.
Sting had a fucking awesome drop kick.
Oh yeah, I was just an Enziguri. Hey, look at that
Enziguri.
Man, Stinger had
big guy like 16.
That was my guy, man. Back in the day, oh man.
Yeah.
There are photos somewhere of me dressed as the Crow.
Oh, Vader just shut that rally down.
Yeah, looking, Sting was a big dude, like 6'2", 6'3", doing those drop kicks.
Yeah.
But, like, look at Vader, like, he's selling it, you know? Yeah. He's like, all right, like, you got me once, you got me twice, and then this third or whatever time this was, like, all right, that really knocked me back. And it's like, again, chopping down the redwood.
Yeah, very Brock is very much like that. Like, selling things the right way for somebody his size.
Yep.
Nice inside cradle, small package.
And actually, Brock is amazing at selling that kind of like, oh, someone's trying to like do the calf strikes and like chop down the redwood kind of stuff. Like Brock is amazing at selling the panic. You know, it's like, oh shit, this guy actually knows what he's doing, and I'm on my heels.
Yeah.
And that's what Vader's doing right now. He's like, back up, because
Sting's got him on the back foot right now.
Yep. And obviously, when's the last time Vader was on his back foot?
Yeah.
Not very often.
Unfamiliar territory.
No one just sat down. Yeah.
My sunset. I always like, oops, squash. Sorry for your false comeback. Here's a bonsai drop.
DJ, have you ever taken one of those? A bonsai drop?
Absolutely
from like a big
not.
Dude?
Absolutely not.
You would die.
Worst I ever took was a senton off a guy who was like twice my size, and I thought I shit myself. But
did he pull it at all, or did he just let you have it?
He let me have it.
Oh.
Dave Blackheart Johnson didn't pull much.
Because again, I'm thinking this dude is at least built like a stereotypical wrestler, and you're built like me, so I'm thinking that, again, the whole thing of you wanting to shit yourself.
One day on this show, I'll pull up the Blackhearts. If I can find a Blackhearts video, probably a YouTube thing, and I'll show you who the Blackhearts were. Dave Johnson was not known for pulling anything.
But if you guys are new to the podcast, I've seen some grainy YouTube footage. My boy can bump.
Oh, I bump for you, man. I bump for you. I can run the ropes.
That guy will make it. Hey, the pizza guy will always make you look good. Fast Eddie was your guy.
Fast Eddie was the pizza guy. I was the manager, but I did eventually get in there.
You were Fast Eddie, the pizza delivery guy, and then you were Guido, what were you, the chef?
I was his manager at the time.
Did you manage the pizza shop, or did you manage just him as a fighter?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a convoluted road to explain that answer, and we're watching a match right now, so.
It's almost like the Bloodline family tree, but regardless.
Very
now,
much so.
Now, obviously, finally, we're getting Sting on the back foot, which he really hasn't been all that much this match.
Nope.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, like, you don't Sting getting manhandled like this. It was just not a thing you saw.
Yeah. Because he was the superhero.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vader is about to put him in a version of the sharpshooter.
That he's defending?
This is the WCW World Championship here.
No, is his second.
Oh, yeah, because
Vader is putting him in a sharpshooter. He's got Sting in the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah.
Probably one of the first instances that I can think of, other than somebody putting Ric Flair in the figure four, of somebody trying to beat the person with their own move.
Yeah.
Sting, this was another callback, Rob. We talked about this because I think they did this at Night of Champions. The three arm drop when you're in a submission hold. I always loved that because you could drop it once, okay, the ref's okay, one, two, and then on the third one they call for the crowd and they do the power up. And I always popped for that. And I always missed that, and they brought it back this year, and I love that.
Yeah.
It became one of those matters of convenience things. I wish they'd do it more often.
Yeah.
Sting, face paint almost gone.
Yeah.
Harley Race back there collecting a check. God bless Harley.
Yeah.
Come on, Sting. Come on, Sting. Power out of it, Sting.
Now you got free.
Vader can't hold on to it. Yep. I think, Rob, you're a couple seconds ahead of me. That's all right.
Oh, okay.
Harley Race is trying to cheer on his man. Stinger is back up and... Oh, punch.
And he's down.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, those
DJ, also, Vader. Also, I have to be a nerd and point out that the Scorpion Deathlock and the Sharpshooter are in fact different, because Scorpion Deathlock is done with your right elbow. Sharpshooter is done with your left elbow, or it's basically other side.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a stiff clothesline.
Jesus. What a freak of a human.
Oh, God.
And I mean that with all the love and, like, endearment and admiration in the world.
And I'll tell you, in a few years, when Hogan shows up in WCW, because my friends and I were huge Vader fans, all we wanted was to see this Vader face Hulk Hogan. And unfortunately, that's not what we got.
Nope.
That is not what we got at all, man.
But the legends, or you guys will tell me, and legends say that this Vader is tame compared to the Japan Vader.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Go watch anything from Vader and Hansen in Japan, man. Those two dudes legit either tried to kill themselves, or if they were tagged up, tried to kill the other people.
Yeah.
Actually, what was that? Was he in the skyscraper match or not the skyscraper? The multi-tiered cage match we watched.
I don't think Vader was in that one. No, that was Abdul the Butcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I do remember a match we watched and Vader was in it and his mask got ripped the fuck off and his face got ripped the fuck open.
Oh yeah, we just and watched that.
And by the end of the match, his mask was holding on by like one strap. And he was a crimson mask.
What match was that? Yeah, well, I'll have to look at the network.
I remember we did a watch along. I swear to God,
you did.
Anyway,
no, you're correct.
Sting just planted Vader.
Nice DDT. No, you are correct. I don't remember what match it was.
A good DDT is just.
But yeah, Vader was busted wide open. His mask was barely hanging on. Because Jason got grossed out, as he usually does with the Bloodfests.
Yeah, exactly. And you, none of you warned me, like, hey, by the way, there's going to be some blood, and this is going to be... It's like, no, this is going to be a fun match. They're going to hit each other with chairs, and oh my God, he's dying.
Those are my favorite watch-alongs, when Jason has no idea what he's getting into, and by the end, he's ready to throw up in a bucket. It's great.
All right, now Vader's going up.
Vader's going to the top rope, man. It's over. We're Oh, Sting got him.
You sense that the end is near.
Here we go, baby.
Oh, Vader plants himself.
Teeing off. Let's go, Stinger.
Come on, Sting. This really was a good
Sting
match.
Was fucking strong, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, superhero strong. Like, I want that guy tested for Super Soldier Serum.
Well,
look at that. I'm sure he was using it in 1992.
He and his former partner were doing that when they first started.
No. Vitamins, minerals, protein shakes.
Sting with Samoan drop.
And the power, and then later, the power of the Crow. And then Lex had the power of the USA.
Well, because, his first partner was the Ultimate Warrior. They were in a team called the Blade Runners. And
the Ultimate Warrior did prayers, vitamins, minerals.
Chicken breasts, pal. Chicken breasts.
Alkaline water, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Yep. It's still real to Jason, damn it.
Ref bump! Ref bump!
Oh, ref bump! What a German suplex. My God, with a bridge.
That didn't... He just Germaned Vader.
And then did a bridge. Muscle
game. How is that? I know probably, like, strength-wise it's not, but how is that more impressive? It might be more impressive than the fireman's carry.
Because, Sting, look, it didn't look like fake or phony either.
No, he...
Stinger splash!
It didn't look like Vader, like, hopped. Vader probably helped, but he didn't, like, jump.
Yeah, because...
Splash to the back of the head.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because...
I think Sting just knocked himself out.
That's one
of my... Did Sting brain himself on the turnbuckle?
I think he was supposed to post himself. And if you're paying attention, he missed, but...
Yeah, I think he was supposed to. He didn't, and now he's acting like he did.
Yeah, he knocked himself out. He posted himself.
Honestly, it would probably help if I had the audio up, because I bet he at least slapped the post, so it made the noise. He's busted open. Never mind.
Maybe he did.
Okay, so,
maybe he did a hard way himself. Holy shit.
Because one of my pet peeves is when somebody smaller does, like, a suplex or a slam on somebody way bigger, and you can see it's obvious that the bigger person's helping them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hate that shit, but this did not look like that at all.
Well, what was impressive about that German Sting brought him over. When Vader landed, it was kind of on the one shoulder, so it was a little offset. Sting had to pull him back over in a bridge to pin both shoulders down. That's fucking muscle, dude. That's core strength.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
That's all the vitamins and prayers, man.
And it's all the chicken breasts.
That's right. So much chicken breast. Like a lot.
Uh-oh. Vader powerbomb. Splat. Good night. Thank you for coming, Sting. That's going to do it. Vader is your new World Heavyweight Champion for WCW.
Fuck you guys. I thought Sting was going to win this.
You did? Oh, man. Sorry.
You pieces of shit. Is it how I wanted my American to go? Captain America just got planted by the devil.
On the 4th of July.
I mean, ain't that... hit the music. Ain't that America?
Rob and I are heels.
You pieces of shit. I thought he defended his second title.
All right. You want to... Do we have time to watch a match where he won?
I don't know, buddy. We're already at an hour and a half of this show. I think let's put a pin in that. We'll come back and do that another time.
You guys.
All right, look. We'll make it up to you next week. We'll pick the Sting match that he won. Okay.
Jesus.
All right, we'll do that next week. We'll make it up.
We didn't even talk about Night of Champions.
We don't need to. We have all collectively talked about Night of Champions. We've moved on from that.
Everybody's already. Every other podcast has talked about Night of Champions already.
To the backdrop.
You want to do highlights or something? I don't know.
No, we're good. I think we can get out of here. To the backdrop of fireworks on the 4th of July, Rob and I have collectively broken Jason's heart watching the red, white, and blue Stinger at the Great American Bash lose the World Heavyweight Championship for WCW. Jason is heartbroken. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast is going to leave you with that. Going to go around the room, thank my co-hosts.
Quick Night of Champions review.
Absolutely not.
Pinned CM Punk for the undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Suck it, punker. You went over to Saudi Arabia. You took that bloody and blah, 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 blah.
Don't
for all
even
that
go
blood,
there.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to go there. But you took all that. You took that paycheck. And you took the pin. And you looked at the lights. Thank you for coming. Have a great day. God bless America.
Okay, I'll add one thing. We got to add Penta to the run in Hall of Fame.
Oh my God, that was incredible!
With the walk,
he does the strut. John Cena and Punk are getting their asses kicked.
I am gonna get my shit off no matter what. Hall of Fame immediately.
Yes, he goes in. It's him, Rhea Ripley, Jeff Hardy. Travis Scott.
I am going to do my shit, and you are going to fucking wait. God bless you.
Incredible stuff. All right, let's go around the room. Thank my co-host for another incredible show. Late to the party, but never, ever last. Jason, sir, thank you for coming in. Great conversation, great argument. I love tonight.
And thank you for coming to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Phil Brooks.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, the host of that show, Mr. Rob, sir, thank you for another fun night.
Yes, always a pleasure. And I thought you knew how to, and I'm sorry, Jason, because I thought you knew how this went already. I'm sorry.
We are going to continue to surprise Jason.
Vader, what's his name? Invader dancing around and poor Eric Bischoff looking like a... You know, looked like somebody, he just walked in on somebody banging his wife. Oh my God.
Anyway, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.